Good morning. We'll call the April 29th, 2014 Sussex County Council meeting to order. First thing will be approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, Council. At this time, we have no amendments to the agenda.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
You got it.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Right.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We had the minutes from April the 8th. Any corrections, questions, concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have one letter from the COPD Foundation. Dear friends at Sussex County Council, on behalf of the COPD Foundation Board of Directors, we would like to express our heartfelt appreciation for your generous contribution in the amount of $200. Your support of the COPD Foundation is very much appreciated and will serve to advance our mission, develop and support programs that improve the quality of life through research, education, early diagnosis, and enhanced therapy for persons whose lives are impacted by COPD. And that's the only letter I have.
Any correspondence from council? Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. First item of business today is a presentation by Ms. Patty Grimes, Executive Director of the Freeman Stage at Bayside. Ms. Grimes will give us a program update. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Thank you for having me. I'm Patty Grimes, Executive Director of the Joshua M. Freeman Foundation. And we want to thank Sussex County Council and the residents of Sussex County for supporting the arts. And at this time, I'd like to give you a brief update of our progress in 2013 and the investment that the county and residents have made in the arts and where we're going in 2014. My colleague, Doug Phillips, just presented you with our annual report, which I sent earlier to council, as well as our calendar of events for 2014. So as you know, we are a public charity that partners to present memorable performances and inspired arts education for all. We were founded in 2007, after Josh Freeman's untimely death, and our program, the Freeman Stage, started in 2008. We've expanded our board of directors with more Sussex Countyans in 2007 and 2013. We added about three more board members. And we also create opportunities to elevate the human spirit and provide access to all. We're showing you actual photos from our stage, and you can see that children are a big part of what we do. We believe in the power of arts and arts education and the impact that arts have for the children and the community. Just some facts about 2013. We had 68 performances, 556 performers on stage. So in addition to our staff of six, we're actually employing artists who come and perform and grace our stage. We sold over 21,000 tickets. We had almost 9,000 outreach guests last year. We had 228 sponsors, which was a huge growth for us in 2013. We have five small but mighty staff of five, and we had 2,400 volunteer hours in 2013, which is tremendous because the value of a volunteer hours is over $21, and with volunteers coming to help support bringing the arts, it really helps reduce our costs and expenses. We had over 41,000 patrons join us in 2013. In our annual survey, 99% of our patrons said that they would return to the stage for more performances. Community outreach, as I said, over 9,000 outreach guests attended shows at the Freeman Stage or sponsored at the Freeman Stage. As you may recall, in the off-season, we have our off-stage performance, and we present in county schools as well as our partner at Dell Tech, so that folks in all areas of the county can come and enjoy quality arts experiences. And also, we use transportation funds to make sure that all folks have the opportunity to come and enjoy anything from the Washington National Opera to Shakespeare to musical theater. In 2013, we introduced a mural project with middle schools in the county, and it was a way to combat bullying in the schools. As you know, that is a social epidemic that educators and parents and leaders are dealing with. And students were asked to design and paint a two-dimensional book spine with an overall theme of kindness. And I'm pleased to let you know that we had 100% participation by all students in the two schools that we rolled this out at, Georgetown Middle School and Selbyville Middle School. And our hope is that we'll be able to continue this program to create legacy projects in the schools so that for years to come, as students and teachers and parents walk the halls, they'll see these tremendous murals that reinforce the values of the school and certainly the values of our county. We received a couple accolades in 2013 that we're very proud of. We received the Southern Delaware Tourism Award, which is an award for bringing tourism and promoting guests to the county. And then the Court of Public Opinion gave us very high accolades, and we received the TripAdvisor Certificate of Excellence Award in 2013. As I said, volunteers, we had over 40,000 patrons. Without these volunteers, we definitely would not be able to present the arts and to continue actually to look for ways, not only at the stage, but in the county, to serve our residents and guests. Special concert events. In 2013, we continued with our National Recording Acts. This is a photo of Darius Rucker at the Freeman Stage. You can see that we transformed our little venue from bring your own seats to a crowd of 2,300. It was a sellout performance. We also had Lyle Lovett, Sheryl Crow, Michael McDonald, and Pat Benatar at our stage in 2013. And these are recording artists that, other than the Delaware State Fair, you really cannot find in our county. Where did our ticket buyers come from? They came from 29 states in 2013. So we continue to not only be a draw from the Mid-Atlantic region, but you know the Midwest folks who are vacationing in the area are finding out about the stage. And we've also learned that some folks have actually made their vacation plans around our stage schedule. Economic impact. Besides the arts bringing great community impact, they also bring economic impact. And our 40,000 patrons, what we know from Americans for the Arts is that in the state of Delaware, if you're a ticket buyer for the arts, you're going to spend an average of $29 in addition to your ticket. So when you do the math, that's over $1.2 million that we've fueled into our local economy here in Sussex County, which is great to benefit so many small businesses who have very short seasons at the beach. Community outreach. You know, so when a guest comes to the stage or to another off-site area, not only do we welcome them and with your help provide transportation, but they get preferred seating. They are VIPs for the evening. We give them, you know, a snack. They also get to interact with the artist so they can hear the artist's story about how they became interested in that particular genre. And they also have an educational aspect of this. Where they learn about that specific performance. Okay, so we are big partners with schools. There's over 23 or 25 schools there in just about virtually every school in Sussex County, from kindergarten to 12th grade and post high school with Del Tech. And then we have over 40 community groups that we also partner with in Sussex County, from all walks of life, you know, every piece of diversity that you can think of, and we continue to nurture and grow our community group base. So what do we have to look forward to in 2014? 50% of our performance will still be free. We'll have 49 performances at the stage. We anticipate growing that 40,000 patrons. And again, most performances are free for 18 and under, which makes it very affordable for families to bring their children to the stage at a $10 or $15 performance, a whole family can come basically for $30. I don't think you can take a family to the movies anymore, maybe not even buy ice cream. Also great news for 2014 is we are we're doubling our national recording artists at the stage. So you see that we're going to have Bruce Hornsby, the Aaron Neville duo, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, Wynton Marsalis, who is the king of jazz, Bare Naked Ladies, Dave Mason's Traffic Jam, the Beach Boys will return to the stage, Firefall, Jennifer Nettles from Sugarland, and David Nail, an up-and-coming country star. And we've also grown our outreach programs. I won't go through all of those, but there are over 20-plus outreach programs that we'll be having all over the county from May of this year, actually scheduled through April 2015, and that's where those 10,000 students will have the opportunity to see wonderful and varied artists. So in addition to funding that we've generously received and graciously received from Sussex County, we also receive funds from the state of Delaware, the Mid-Atlantic Arts Foundation, PNC, and I'm proud to announce to you that in 2014, we also received a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. We were the only Delaware arts organization to receive this Challenge America grant. And with this grant, we'll be able to bring elementary school children to partner with the Mid-Atlantic Symphony Orchestra. Once again, we want to say thank you for your support. We really appreciate everything that you do to bring the arts alive in our backyards here in Sussex County. We welcome you to come to the stage this summer. And if there's any questions from the council, I'm happy to answer them at this time.
Any questions for council? Thank you for coming, presenting to us, and thank you very much. It's a great thing you do for the community. It really
thank
is.
You so much.
It really is.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we're now at 10:30, so we were going to move on the agenda to our advertised public hearing. Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Now is the time and place for a public hearing on an ordinance to amend Chapter 26 of the Code of Sussex County relating to pension benefits for Sussex County employees. At the beginning of the public hearing, Karen Brewington will give a brief synopsis of what this proposed ordinance is attempting to do. After that, members of the public will be asked to come forward and comment, and after that is complete, the public hearing will be closed. Ms. Brewington?
Good morning. As Mr. Moore stated, this amendment to the pension ordinance was introduced on or was proposed on the March 25th meeting. This amendment will require new employees as of January 1, 2014 to contribute 3% of their pension, their base earnings, after $6,000 each year. I have Mr. Tim Snyder along with me in case you do have any questions that you would like answered in regards to the pension.
Any questions from council?
Sure. Give us a sense of how much that is in dollars and cents. Can you tell us in dollars and cents, maybe a hypothetical, what that would be and how it's going to be different from the current employees?
It will be, for a new employee, on average, it's $1,250 per employee that would be contributing. Once we go through the complete cycle, everybody's in there, it's going to be about $600,000 annually added to our pension.
And I think Mr. Cole has for quite some time been very adamant that we needed to look at changing this for the new hires. So in his absence, I would pat him on the back for pushing this because it does seem like it's appropriate in these times. Do you have any concerns that it could dissuade folks from wanting to work for the county? How does it compare to real life?
The state currently requires new employees to contribute 5% at this time. So we are a little bit lower than the state. Newcastle and Kent County also have increased their contributions. So it would still make us, I guess, we would be a lower contribution than our neighboring folks.
How about real life in the private sector? Do you have any sense of what's going on out there?
Mainly for the private sector, a lot of folks have gone from a defined benefit plan to a defined contribution plan. So it's a 401k. And generally what private sector does is they would match a certain percentage of what the employee contributed. A lot of times it's up to 6%.
Have we ever considered going 401k, or is there a distinct disadvantage being a government entity?
We did have a look at that. We had some folks from Hewitt take a look at that to see where we would be as far as Insurance Buyers Council to see where we really should go, whether it be a defined benefit or a defined contribution. The problem with a defined contribution is employees really need to know how to invest that money. And based on some of our employees that we have here, it seemed like it was a better, our pension is thriving, our pension fund, so we're not putting the burden on our current employees to realize, well, how do I contribute to these funds?
Some employees might think that they could do a better job investing their money. Is it something that could be considered an option in the future?
It could be considered an option. Just when we spoke to our folks, they had stated that based on the current employees that we have, that it probably would be a better fit for us just to move forward with a contribution for new employees.
Okay. I won't push it, but if employees begin to step forward, I would encourage you to look at it and bring it back to council.
Sure.
Great. Thank you.
How much money was it? Was it $1,200?
It's about $1,200 annually.
So I was figuring about $40,000 average.
On it, but you got that right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Average employee making
about $40,000.
Okay.
Any more questions from council?
Pretty good average.
Okay. If not, is there anyone here from the public that'd like to speak, Mr. Kramer?
My name is Dan Kramer. The only thing that I got is, why do you leave out the first $6,000? Why aren't you taking the money out from $6,000? Here you got checks coming in, and all of a sudden you got 3% being removed. First couple of checks you have been removed. Makes more sense to start from day one.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to address this issue? Is there anyone else here today that would like to comment on the proposed ordinance? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter.
We'll close public hearing, and it's okay with council, close public comment. And if you read a short title.
Yes, Mr. President, an ordinance to amend Chapter 26 of the Code of Sussex County relating to pension benefits for Sussex County employees.
Pleasure, council.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion?
Does council think Phillips. That there is any reason to consider this for current employees? I don't think we can have any more comment.
That's correct.
Right. But from a council's perspective, do you think that a gradual process of bringing current employees into this contribution level would be wise?
Well, that doesn't affect this ordinance.
No, it doesn't affect this ordinance at all. You're correct. It's a different conversation. You're exactly right. Is that something we should have discussion about, Mr. Moore?
That couldn't be an amendment to this?
It possibly could be an amendment, but that would be a very substantive amendment, I believe, that would be more appropriate to have as part of a separate ordinance proposed as opposed to on this.
Very good.
Because it would be so substantial, I think, that it would incur additional public hearing.
I guess the only way I would be interested in doing that is if the current employees could also benefit in some way. I wouldn't want them to be penalized in a way. They're working here under a certain plan, and we should not be changing the rules in the middle of the game. No further questions for me.
Okay.
So it's about 46. It's about 46,000 now. Is that what we're up to? Because 6,000 not going to be charged. So it's average 46,000. 40.
No, no. You would take 40,000 minus the 6,000 and then times
so
it by.
So
you
paid on 34,000.
So you paid on 34,000.
That's correct.
Any more questions, Council? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes, economic times are calling for this. It needs to be done.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes, I think bringing that 600,000 from future employees into the fund will help us reach our goal of 100% funding of our pension account.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you, ma'am.
And thank you, Mr. Cole, wherever you are.
Mr. Lawson, we're back to you.
Thank you, Mr. President. The next item of business is a proclamation recognizing the Soil and Water Stewardship Week. We are joined by Mr. David Baird, the district coordinator. I will read the proclamation. Mr. Baird, you want to come forward? Sussex County Council would like to proclaim April 27th through May 4th, 2014 as the Soil and Water Stewardship Week. Whereas fertile soil and clean water provides us with our daily sustenance, effective conservation practices have helped provide us a rich standard of living, and our security depends upon healthy soil and clean water. Stewardship calls for each person to help conserve these precious resources. Now, therefore, the Sussex County Council does hereby proclaim April 27 through May 4, 2014, as Soil and Water Stewardship Week. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, President, April 29, 2014. Thank you, Mr. Baird.
Thank you, David. Congratulations. I'm supposed to shake your hand after, right?
So why is this stewardship?
Why is it stewardship week or month or whatever?
Why is it? What's that?
Congratulations.
I think this is, well, Mr. Baird may be able to.
I was just wondering what event has precipitated this honor.
This is an activity that is spearheaded by the National Association of Conservation Districts. So mm-hmm. events like this are taking place around the country this week. Mm-hmm. And obviously on behalf of the board and staff and all the cooperators around the county, we appreciate the ongoing support and partnership we have with County Council. And it's certainly a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Glad to have you here, Dave. Good to see you.
Good job, Dave.
Thank you, sir. Okay, next item of business is the consideration of rules of procedure amendment regarding consent agendas. This was a previously discussed agenda item brought forth during the March 25th meeting where council was presented information regarding the use of a consent agenda. This was the request of Councilman Cole to see if we could streamline the review of our wastewater agreements through the use of a consent agenda. Recall that all this does is couples together wastewater agreements under one item on the agenda, and it does not reduce, limit, or eliminate any council consideration for any of these agreements. It simply means that these items will be listed under one item on a future agenda. Those items will be listed, and you can either choose to review them and act on them under one consent agenda, or you could choose to pull an item out and vote separately on that item, most of which would all be wastewater agreements. There are currently four wastewater agreements on today's agenda, so when Mr. Godwin presents those to you, the same information will be on the future agendas should we choose to implement a consent agenda. That information is the developer, location, sewer district, type and size of development, system connection charges, and it lists the agreements by which the county is entering into for the use of their wastewater facilities with the developer. Should you choose to implement a consent agenda, it will require an amendment to the current rules of procedure. That information was in the packet, and the new language is in the packet. If we choose to consider a motion, I would read that language that would be placed into the newly amended rules of procedure.
any discussion? When is it appropriate to discuss it?
Right now. Right now. We'll have discussion, sure.
Yes. Any, if you have any questions.
Comments from council, questions from council,
I was just,
Mr. Deaver.
I think it's great to, you know, to be more efficient, and we sure do take a long time slogging through those individual transactions. And I've often heard things while we were here in at the meeting that I didn't know about prior to this meeting. Prior to the meeting, so things can come up as the ordinance is presented to us that we hadn't thought about. That's the only shortcoming that I see. And, you know, there's, I don't know if there's any way to predict what the questions might be until you've heard from the engineering department. So that's the only shortcoming. But I'm wondering what your thoughts are about that. Because I know we've had questions that all of a sudden came up that hadn't come up before. Evidently, we didn't know those particular things before. So how do you resolve that?
Well, I think to test this in a future agenda, should this pass, I think from what I've heard from council that we would only use this for these wastewater agreements. And those wastewater agreements are usually presented by Mr. Godwin.
Mm-hmm.
As you will see in a minute, they're fairly repetitive in nature. And at this point, it's just a act of council approving the agreements that the county is now entering into with the developer. All the legwork, so to speak, has taken place.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I'm saying it's not controversial by the time it gets in front of you. And we're not taking any action away from you as far as review and consideration goes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This act does not take away any future action by the council. It simply allows you to approve something with one or two votes. And it is not my desire, and it is up to me in consultation with you to produce our weekly agendas, to go any further than using this for the wastewater agreements. And should another item come up, which I don't even have an example of right now, that we want to start considering under the consent agenda, we could do so. But for now, we're only considering this for these wastewater agreements.
And those agreements have already been through a couple of different hands by the time we get it. So it's been checked in many ways by the county. And okay, I understand.
They're fully vetted by the engineering department and our legal department.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, it's just an action of the council to approve.
Questions of council?
Only wastewater, right?
Wilson.
Correct.
Yeah, that's my concern, that it not be used for other things that could allow important items to slip under the radar, as some governments seem to use consent agendas for. We need complete transparency here.
I think Vance is probably thinking of, Mr. Phillips here is probably thinking of a couple of times here in this council, it's gone by engineers and everybody else, and yet we, by our looking at it and discussing it, we say there were literally thousands of dollars. So sometimes, you know, they elected us to look these things over and really scrutinize them. So other than that, I like to turn the whole thing over and say you can run a whole show, but that's not what we're elected for, I don't feel.
Hmm. Anything else from council?
Well, it's
Mr. Deaver.
It's only the wastewater agreements. It's nothing from engineering. I don't see anything questionable. It's fully vetted by the time we get it. It's very narrow in scope, so I don't see any danger there.
I guess we need Mr. Lawson to read something for a motion.
Yes, I've got the proposed amendment language and then a motion to follow.
Okay.
New Rule 4A, Consent Agenda. 4A.1, the county administrator or any member of the county council may propose any matter that would be considered on an agenda for the inclusion on a consent agenda. The consent agenda shall list the matters so included and a brief description of each. 4A.2, an item may be removed from a consent agenda if any member of the county council requests that it be given separate individual consideration. If an item is removed from the consent agenda, it shall be considered as a separate item under the appropriate section of that meeting's agenda. 4A.3, All items on a consent agenda shall be read and voted on as a single group. That concludes the proposed language, and I have a motion if you would like to consider.
Now, that language contradicts what I thought we just agreed to. It seems to open the door for anything to be placed on the consent agenda. Is there a way to create language that specifically notes that the wastewater agreements are the only ones allowed to be on the consent agenda?
If you would like to narrow that in scope, we could do that, yes.
I would. I don't think I could vote for what you just read. Do you have any thoughts, Mr. President?
Whatever you want, but can you do that now, Mr. Moore?
We can.
Okay.
Yeah,
we can do that now. We can have that reread, I guess.
I think the item by which Mr. Phillips is referencing is in 4A.1, and it referenced may propose any matter, and we could say may propose any wastewater agreement.
Yes. Okay.
Or you could say only wastewater.
May propose only wastewater agreements. Okay, so that would read 4A.1, the county administrator or any member of the county council may propose only wastewater agreements to be considered on an agenda for the inclusion on a consent agenda.
Okay.
If that's a motion, I'll second it.
Is that a motion, Mr. Phillips, to accept?
Yes, sir.
A motion, Mr. Phillips, second Mrs. Deaver to accept the consent agenda addition to rules as was just read by Mr. Lawson.
That is...
wastewater only.
Yeah, I understand.
Sure.
I'm trying to think how I would put it in words. I'm really only thinking right now, Mr. Audience. Mr. Kramer. Where was it?
Could you read that one more time?
Yeah, read it. I think that'd be the best. Read it.
Rule 4A.1, the county administrator or any member of the county council may propose only wastewater agreements to be considered on an agenda for the inclusion on a consent agenda.
And if we have any questions, that would be the one you bring back up. Otherwise,
sure.
Is that what it says? Or did we take that part out?
No, I'm only amending this sentence. The rest of it stays in, which limits the scope to only wastewater agreements to be considered for a consent for the use of a consent agenda.
Any more questions of council? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, I think it's a good update.
Mr. Phillips.
I believe it passes muster, yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
All but yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir. Administrator's report, Mr. Lawson.
Are we okay on that, Mr. Moore? Did you say it was
myself.
A motion as amended?
It was a motion, a motion as you just read.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just want to be careful.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It was as you read that last change.
Okay. County Administrator's Report, April 29, 2014, item number one. Most Sussex County libraries will be closed on Thursday, May 8th, to allow staff to attend the annual Delaware Library Association, Maryland Library Association conference in Ocean City, Maryland. The DLA-MLA conference offers concurrent education sessions throughout the day that will be provided by local, regional, and national library and community leaders. In addition to classes, the conference provides an opportunity for library professionals to network, learn from one another, and share their expertise. County libraries will reopen at their regular time on Friday, May 9th. Item number two, there were 34,992 pounds of recycled materials received at the Recycle Delaware pods at the West Complex in Georgetown during the months of January, February, and March. Attached are reports received for each month. And item number three, per the attached engineering department fact sheet, Deep Valley Farm received substantial completion effective April 22, 2014. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Godwin. Speaking of wastewater agreements, right on down here.
Mr. President, members of council, we have four wastewater agreements for your consideration this morning. The first one is Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Forest Landing, remainder of Phase 2D, Agreement Number 343-7. The developer in this case is Mr. Dave Dombert of Gaithersburg, Maryland. It will be located at the intersection of County Road 368 and County Road 84. This will become part of the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District, serving 16 single-family lots. We're expecting $83,968 in connection charges. We already have approvals from our engineering department as well as DENREC. We're expecting 15 days of construction, with a construction administration and construction inspection cost totaling $5,919.30, with a proposed construction cost of just $39,462. And I have an amendment for your I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion, sir.
Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 343-7, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Forest Landing Communities, LLC, for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Forest Landing, remainder of Phase 2D, located in the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
Sir, our next agreement for your consideration is Sussex County Project 81-04, Deep Valley Farm Phase 2, Agreement Number 866-2. In this case, the developer is John Duffy of Bethany Beach, Delaware. The location is the south side of Route 9 and the north and south sides of Route 284, Beaver Dam Road. This will become part of the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District, serving 192-lot subdivision, 16 single-family lots in this phase. Connection charges will total $77,152. We do have approvals from our engineering department as well as DENREC, and we're expecting 30 days of construction with a $5,448.08 construction administration and construction inspection cost, with a proposed construction cost of $36,320.50. I have a motion. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 866-2, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Lewis Crossing Capital Partners, LLC, for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Deep Valley Farm Phase 2, located in the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
Yes, sir. Our third agreement for your consideration this morning is Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Deep Valley Farm Phase 3, Agreement Number 866-3. Again, the developer here is Mr. John Duffy from Bethany Beach. This will serve the south side of Route 9 and the south sides of Route 285, Beaver Dam Road. It will become part of the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District, serving 192-lot subdivision, 24 single-family lots in this phase. The connection charges will total $115,728. We have approvals from DENREC and our engineering department, while we expect 60 days of construction, with a construction administration and construction inspection cost totaling $14,022.68, with a proposed construction cost of $93,484.50. We have a motion.
Please, sir.
Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 866-3, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Lewis Crossing Capital Partners, LLC, for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Deep Valley Farm Phase 3, located in the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
Fourth and final wastewater agreement this morning is Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Vinson Overlook, Phase 4, Agreement Number 843-5. The developer in this case is Mr. Louis J. Capano of Wilmington, Delaware. This will take place at the intersection of County Road 88 and County Road 261 and will become part of the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District, serving 30 single-family lots. with $144,660 in system connection charges. We do have approval from DENREC, as well as our engineering department, and we're expecting just 30 days of construction, with a construction administration and construction inspection cost totaling $13,008.53, with a proposed construction cost of $86,723.50. The motion is as follows. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 843-5, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Vincent Overlook LLC for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Vincent Overlook Phase 4, located in the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District.
Make that motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Let's have any committee updates, Mr.
Yes, sir. I have a few issues. As you know, in about 2 hours, our 147th General Assembly will reconvene as they've been off for several days. I wanted to share some things with you. There are some bills that have been introduced and some that are about to be introduced. First, I'll give you a couple of bills that have been introduced.
I was trying to turn it off. Couldn't get there fast enough.
These two bills are part of the efforts in Delaware to upgrade animal control, animal welfare committee. These two bills are both, I consider them to be relatively housekeeping bills. They're not any major policy changes. They're simply two bills that will address some deficiencies in the current code. First of all, House Bill 297 is simply to clarify how to handle dangerous dogs. We've always had a dangerous dog panel. We have now just reinitiated that panel and populated it with people to serve. But there was one issue in the law that made it somewhat ambiguous as to which dogs would be captured, considered to be dangerous. So this 297 clears that up by dropping out one line in the current law. The other bill is a bill that's to correct a mistake that was done in the legislature a year or so ago. The word cat was dropped out under the definitions of domestic animal. And this is of importance for a dangerous dog who has attacked and killed a domestic animal. The domestic animal list used to say, domestic animals shall mean any dog, cat, poultry, or livestock. The word cat was inadvertently dropped out, I think, in the 146th General Assembly when we were making other adjustments to the dog control laws. This will put the word cat back in so that your cat is also protected from dangerous dogs. That's all those two bills do.
And there's no way that this cat, adding the cat back, could inadvertently put the cat within the dog control.
No, sir. I've watched that pretty carefully.
That would be.
No, it does not. I have two other bills that I want to bring to your attention. There's, I'm going to get Chip to help me with this.
The first two bills that I'm giving you are the first package. There's two bills here that are concerned about basic life service. As you know, ambulances that are housed in fire departments around our county, around our state, provide emergency medical service in the basic life support mode. We counties have, I believe, offered benefit to these operations in the form of grants.
There are two bills floating that are supposed to be introduced later today or tomorrow. And both of these bills, there's two versions. One bill deals with Title IX, which is the county, and the other bill works with county or with Title 18, and both of these bills are aimed at the same thing. They want the counties to fund the expense of the ambulance services by 15% of their total costs. The synopsis on this bill is very long. I'm not going to bother reading it to you. These bills have not yet been introduced, but I expect them to be introduced today as they went back into session this afternoon. I know that we have done an outstanding job, as our two sister counties have done an outstanding job in funding ambulance service over the years. This law will require us to fund 15% of the cost to provide basic life support, which is the ambulance. I will let you know how, I don't normally give you a bill that hasn't been introduced yet, but this is so close to our soul, I thought you should see the very first draft, because fire and ambulance service and emergency services are one of the largest services that we are so proud of in this county, so I wanted you to see this draft. I was alerted to this Friday evening. I got a phone call from Senator Pettyjohn Friday evening to tell me that they were circulating this bill as of last Thursday and Friday, looking for sponsors. The email that was attached to these bills explains that it's going to be introduced today and that all those folks that wanted to sign on as co-sponsors could do so. Of course, the implications here are that we already do offer a lot of financial support to these services, so you'll want to discuss and think about how this bill might change that. And also, if you remember some years back when paramedic service began, the state required the county to support it by 30%. Now we're supporting it by 70%. So that might imply that this 15% may be up for change in the near future.
Well, but it says minimum of, yes, 15%, right. So you're right.
So,
well, I think the question how that you would need to ask somebody up there, whoever's put this bill out, is what does this 15% minimum comprise of? When they say the cost of, I mean, right now,
if you read through the bill, I think it talks about the labor for the paid EMT that's on the truck, there's the ambulance driver.
Because right now we provide $1.5 million to the BLS community,
right,
for wages only.
Right. I believe this is wages only as well as I read it. Okay. As you know, over the years, back in 1999, there was a law passed that required ambulance service to perform in a certain time frame.
Sure.
But there was no funding for that.
Sure.
And over the years, the funding has gotten to the point that many of these ambulance operations are operating in the red. So they want to secure a funding source for them is what I think,
sure,
what this is about.
But right, like what you said, Mike, we provide $1.5 million.
Right. And so that might very well be 15%.
But are we required to
We're voluntarily doing it.
All right, okay, so what might happen is they end up putting this bill in and we stop doing this and it's just a shuffling, we haven't really achieved anything.
I mean, I think the question
we
to ask
back
how
our voluntary contributions.
Right, to make out for sure what that 15% is supposed to take care of. Are we going to be buying ambulances? Are we going to be, this thing could just get bigger and bigger and bigger, or is this in fact to provide the payment for the services these people are getting? They're all getting paid to do that now. I mean,
right,
all the EMTs pretty much are getting,
right,
paid. Most,
right,
of them are.
And that's really necessary, I believe, in most people's opinion, to provide that.
The ambulance gets paid when you ride that ambulance. The fire company comes for free.
The fire company does, yeah. But the ambulance, there's a bill for that.
That's right, there's a bill.
And one of the issues that I understand is that they're dealing with, one of the issues is certainly that the payment they get from third-party billers is nowhere near what it costs to provide that service. Ambulance costs maybe, I'm going to pick a number, $350 to provide that one ambulance run. They're getting paid $65 or somebody reimbursed by whoever.
Maybe because that's getting donations.
Yeah.
So I think we should be right.
They can't run in the red all the time. If they did, it wouldn't last.
That's correct.
They got to get it from somewhere.
Sure.
So money's coming.
I mean, something to pay attention to, I think, to make sure that we know what this 15% minimum, what that actually is covering.
Before I go to lobby this bill, one way or the other, however you direct me, I'm going to need to meet with Gina and get some real hard numbers on what we're doing currently.
Exactly.
Because I think if you look at what we're doing currently, we're already overfunding the kitty, more than likely.
Well, educate them, because they probably didn't even realize we're doing that. I wouldn't be surprised.
We got to watch ourselves. We'll be in prevailing wages here, too. I mean, after all, we've been down that road. We know what that is.
Well, I'm concerned that if we agree to this because we don't think it's going to have much of an impact, it could send the signal that we are open to them sending more, I guess, unfunded mandates down to us. And that's a very, very dangerous step when you consider all the money that they're looking for right now to fund operations and fund infrastructure that is their responsibility. the shifting of responsibility, i.e. the cost down to the counties, I think has to stop because, quite frankly, the state constitution says the General Assembly can delegate land use authority to us, but nowhere I think it was intended that we should be picking up the cost of all these services, which traditionally have been the state's responsibility.
As the bill is introduced, ladies and gentlemen, what I will endeavor to do is to give this a sort of a cost-benefit analysis with Mrs. Jennings.
Sure.
And take a look at what we're contributing, how the ambulance services currently that are funded by us feel about our funding, and we may well wind up arming ourselves with their support again as a lobbying effort. So it may be that we might not be in a bad position at all with this.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can I ask you a question?
Anything else, Al?
That's it.
Mrs.
About that resolution that Senator Blevins has put together, have you heard any more on that about the state handling the animal welfare?
That's discussed every time we meet.
Is it?
Yes, and I know that Senator Blevins hopes to do that sometime next year.
Regular legislation, but this is just a resolution, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Every time we meet, I remind the committee of our wishes, and the other two committees, other two counties always chime in with support on that.
Right.
But I make it very clear that we're interested in giving that whole responsibility back to the state.
Right.
And Senator Blevins agrees that that's where it should be.
Okay.
And the new executive director of the Animal Welfare Office, Hetty Brown, agrees as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're aiming,
mm-hmm.
and I've mm-hmm. they as a matter of fact, when they brought these two pieces of legislation to me a couple of weeks ago, about the dangerous dog,
yes,
we had a conference call, and I reiterated to the group then that the first piece of legislation I would be interested in supporting would be one that gives the whole thing back to the state.
Yes.
They kind of chuckled. I said, "Well, I'm serious. We want you to take this back." So I make that very clear, Councilman Deaver. Yes.
And they don't object, but we have her support. You get a sense of how much other support there might be.
There are 61 other legislators.
Correct.
That we need to convince half of.
Really? Yeah. So it would be an uphill.
Well, I don't. With Senator Blevins leading the charge,
mm-hmm.
It should go well because she's a very influential legislator.
Good.
Okay.
Any more questions, Mr. Godwin? Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Jim Hicken, come on down. Industrial Park lease.